This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community. The Party
Line Team. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi. Talking local.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
TGIF, welcome to the WILO and Boone 102.7 FM Party Line Show. Today's show is presented by our friends at TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshan's Window Tinting, they stick it where the sun shines. Clinton County, Boone County, Carroll County, DailyNews.com, your free local online newspapers. Vierks Fine Jewelry in Lafayette, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Susan Casper for State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives and big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at welovebigdeals.com. Are they able to watch the online telecast today?
The live streaming is not wanting to connect, but I do have it recording, so it will be up later.
Okay, so we will at least get it up later for you, but you can watch it on HoosierLandTV.com at some point. And that's brought to you by our friends at 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Reinhardt Realtors, Pagan Penn, Timber Frame Builders, TC Trailers, and Culligan Water. Good morning, Mel. How are you?
I'd be better if this thing would stream. But you know, actually, what? Not too bad.
We've had a decent week, so
yeah, we have
should
had a pretty good week.
Count our blessings, as we like to say.
Yeah. I played Huey Lewis, The Power of Love, for a reason.
Okay.
The one they celebrated an anniversary not too long ago with that particular song. But he has a really cool thing that he's doing on almost like a podcast type deal, but it's also part of another thing that the Rolling Stones are doing, the newspaper. And they are going back into some of the songs that are like iconic, and they're talking about the history of it, how they were done. Well, he and another guy in the band were working on this song before they were approached, because that song is very famous for being in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
And before the movie, they were actually already working on that song.
Oh, really?
And Steven Spielberg approached them about writing a song for the movie, and Huey said, well, you know, never really done that before, I'm not sure whether or not, you know, I can tackle that. And they said, no, we just want your music. So they went back, they finished the song and sent it to him, and they loved it.
Sure. And now, of course, the poor guy's losing his hearing.
Yeah.
And can hardly perform anymore.
Yeah. So,
which I guess in their industry is, you know, kind of common, unfortunately, when you stand in front of speakers as large as they do and perform as many shows
as
they do.
Yeah, and even with the hearing, you know, the soundproofing and everything that they do, a lot of people, you know, you see them wearing the earpieces and stuff, and that's so that they can actually hear their own voices and hear, you know, the music in the background, and brings it down to a level that's safe. It still takes a toll.
It does. It does. So, anyway. All right. Do we have a guest?
Yes, we do.
I don't have anything, so I'm sorry.
That's because it's all sitting over here.
Well, like I said, TGIF.
While I was messing with...
Join us again tomorrow morning for Inside the Huddle.
Yeah, actually, that would be about right.
Join us at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning for Inside the Huddle.
Yeah, it is the season.
I understand. All right. We do have a guest this morning, a couple of guests today. Mm-hmm. And I'll get my papers as
that's
well.
Our
thank
other,
you.
That's our other guest.
Okay. All right. We're going to start with Blake Dollier, who is the Public Relations Director for the Indiana Department of Transportation. Blake, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate you guys, as always, having me on the program. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. You know, we're happy that the weekend is around the corner, and I'm sure you are, too. Storms rolled through last night. Does that affect you guys in any way today?
You know, I'm sure, you know, we're going to be kind of on the lookout. I know there's one kind of problem area that's had a little bit of flooding in our region, but that's actually down in the southern portion. So nowhere near Frankfort right now. No notification of flooding or roads closed because of that, thankfully. But if that changes, of course, you know, we'll keep everybody up to date. So it's Indiana. It's the springtime. It's construction season. And we just had a solar eclipse. So, you know, as you can imagine, things are a little bit hectic around here. But glad to be doing it and glad to be, you know, a part of it.
Well, Blake, I love all the information that you sent us because you're always very detailed. And it is right now, this week is National Work Zone Awareness Week. And let's talk a little bit about that before we get into the brass tacks of all the stuff that's going to be going on in our area.
Yeah, it is National Work Zone Awareness Week. And, you know, this is kind of the week that we campaign and we kick off construction season. Of course, you may have noticed that construction season starts a little bit earlier than this week. But, you know, now that the weather is a little bit nicer, it's really, really starting to ramp up. So we kind of take this week to just, you know, remember that work zone safety is of utmost importance. You know, it's not just whether it's you as a worker or the driver or the passenger. It's everybody. And so we're taking this week to kind of go over some statistics, some of which may be a little bit startling, but it's important that we take those, we recognize those, and, you know, also thank our workers for the hard work they're doing out there, because before you know it, it's going to be really warm out there and they're going to be working really hard and, you know, just trying to make the roadways better and safer for everybody as well.
Yeah, and I hate it when people complain about the roads and then when the workers are out there are not being safe. And so I'm just looking at this statistic here that says in 2023, 1,747 people were injured in Indiana work zones. That's just Indiana work zones. 8,287 crashes and 33 fatalities.
Those are some very alarming numbers, and, you know, that's something that when you take that into account, you have to remember, too, that, you know, that's everybody. That's drivers. That's workers. And actually, 4 out of 5 people that are tragically killed in work zones are actually the drivers and passengers as opposed to the highway workers. And, of course, you know, any tragedy is one we want to prevent. But, you know, just it makes you really have to think about that number and that statistic and say, you know, it's not only helping, you know, those workers when I slow down through that work zone, but it's also helping me and anybody in my vehicle as well.
And this is just in Indiana, so I can only imagine what the nationwide statistics are for that. So rear-end crashes are the most common type of work zone crash. I believe that. You know, you slow down and people aren't paying attention, and I'm sure there's a lot of rear-end crashes that happen.
Yeah, I actually got rear-ended in my other vehicle that I had before the one I have now. I actually got rear-ended on 465 in a work zone. Yeah.
Yeah, so with that in mind, too, you have to kind of think about, you know, what plays into that as well. And, you know, of course, anytime there's an injury or something and, you know, or a death in a work zone, you think about seat belts as well. But also when it comes to rear-end crashes, it all a lot of times goes back to distracted driving. And what was that driver doing? Were they on their phone? Were they maybe, you know, doing their makeup or eating some food or something to where their attention was not fully focused on the road? And we've noticed, you know, since the introduction of cell phones, of course, you know, years ago, that those types of crashes and those types of distracted driving incidents are on the rise. So that's what we're really looking to kind of curb and hopefully, you know, encourage the traveling public to make good decisions and just wait to send that text until you get to your destination.
Again, our guest this morning is Blake Dollier. He's Public Relations Director for NDOT. And this statistic blows my mind. You know, we are a busy, busy, or really, we convince ourselves that we are busy, busy people. We got to get here. We got to go there. But as I read this, it takes just one extra minute of travel through a 2-mile work zone at 45 miles per hour than 65 miles per hour. Just an extra minute. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it in those terms, that minute is really not going to make a difference in where you're getting somewhere on time or not, but it could make a difference for someone's life.
Absolutely. You just have to ask yourself, is that extra minute worth the risk? And I think, you know, anybody listening to this program would say, no, it's not worth the risk. You know, slow down. And you have to think, too, that's, you know, a 45 mile an hour compared to 65, but a lot of work zones on interstates are maybe 55 or 60 miles an hour, too. So, you know, it could be even less of an impact when you think about in that respect, too. So, you know, it just really, when you crunch these numbers together, it's really just amazing how much of a difference you can make just through, you know, drivers taking these steps and, you know, just thinking about, you know, your fellow man out there on the road and just, you know, being as safe as you possibly can. And, you know, with that in mind, too, the most fatal work zone crashes happen on roads with speed limits greater than 50, too. So if you can slow down, then that just really, really makes a difference.
Well, it all boils down to leave a little early. I mean,
absolutely.
Good grief. Not that hard.
I know, but we've all done it. You think about it, and you're like, oh, I got to get the kids. And by the time you get three kids, and maybe somebody's in a car seat. And so I get it. We say that, but really, sometimes we're just late. But then if you are running late, just take a little extra time on the road then,
yeah,
and just admit you're late. Yep. Sometimes just admitting you're late
happens.
Is just easier. So, oh, geez. Also, fatal work zone crashes occur most in the summer rather than fall. I totally believe that, and those are the months we're heading into. So, again, it's just slow-down advice, but any other advice for folks as they're on the roads?
You know, I would just say, remember, you know, when you think about these statistics, remember that, you know, everybody out there that's a highway worker or, you know, another driver in another vehicle, they want to go to work and back home just the same way that they came to work. You know, a lot of them have families. You know, a lot of them are moms or dads or, you know, just even friends out there on the road, and they just want to be able to get to their loved ones safely. So just keep in mind that everybody's got a place to go. Everybody's trying to maybe get home or get to that doctor or dentist appointment. And so just keep that in the back of your mind. You know, we actually recently launched the Buckle Up, Zone Down campaign in Indiana. Our commissioner, NDOT Commissioner Mike Smith, did that. It started over in Missouri with their Department of Transportation. And so we're just really trying to encourage everybody to buckle up, put the phone down, and by doing that, you can really save an incredible amount of lives. Because when you think about, you know, 6% of vehicle occupants are unbelted, but they account for 47% of roadway fatalities. So in that scheme of things, you know, it's just incredibly important. Also buckle up, because even if, you know, a crash does happen, because they do happen, if you're restrained properly in that vehicle, it's going to keep you a lot safer as well.
Yeah, the numbers on that are pretty incredible, too. Buckling up in the front seat of a passenger car reduces risk of fatal injury by nearly half, 45%, and moderate or critical injury by half, by 50%. So, you know, it's so funny because we are a farming community, and sometimes people just hop in their truck and think, I'm just going down to the next field, or I'm just running down to, you know, the barn lot real quick or something like that. But you can't remind folks enough to buckle up.
Absolutely. And NDOT has a pretty good goal, too. We're looking to cut roadway fatalities in all of Indiana, so not even just state roads, but across county and city streets as well. We're looking to cut that by 25% here in the next few years. So if we can do that and all, you know, team up together to make that possible, that would really, really be awesome.
Again, our guest today is Blake Dahl, your Public Relations Director for NDOT. Blake, thanks for joining us today. Let's get into the crux of some of the projects that are coming up this summer that folks can look forward to, and then, more importantly, slow down for. So I see that U.S. 421, both directions, is going to have some work at Wabash Street, lane restrictions in effect on or after Monday in mid-July. So let's start there.
Yeah, so 421, both directions right there at Wabash Street, mid-July. Of course, you know, that's always subject to change due to the weather. At 421, 28 Wabash Avenue in Frankfort, there's going to be a new signal installation. There's going to be some ADA ramp and sidewalk compliance, sidewalks installed with that as well. There really shouldn't be too many delays with that in mind. But of course, you know, there are possibilities for delays when things get a little bit busy. So just watch out for the workers in those areas. That's one that, you know, shouldn't be one of the bigger ones, but at the same time, it is a project that we're working on. So just kind of be mindful of that. Then we also have one that's actually, from what I'm hearing, is almost complete, is the Walnut Street, State Road 28, between Hoke Avenue and 200 West. We've got some lane restrictions in effect at times. You know, most of the time it should be open, but there are some flagging operation exceptions there. That's going to be going until early October, but just keep an eye out for that as well.
And those are both very busy areas here in town. So again, just give it a little extra time, folks. You might start thinking about your ways around as we get closer to those dates and just start thinking, you know, I'll just go around rather than go through. Just try and figure out a way to go around just so it's safer for everybody. State Road 26 closure in Clinton County.
Yep, that's an elephant in the room, I'm telling you.
I hate to say it, but she's right. So can you talk about...
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big one. That one, I actually got the information on that maybe a couple of, I want to, maybe almost a month ago at this point. You know, so many of these projects, they do tend to blend together, but this is one that really caught my eye early on here in the construction season. 26 in Clinton County, and it goes kind of between Middle Fork and Rushaville, which obviously is in Howard County. So with the NDOT West Central District, you know, we end actually at the Clinton-Howard County line there on 26. So that's kind of where things would switch over district-wise. But in our area, so we have that started on April 9th, so the day after the eclipse. We wanted to actually start that and some other projects earlier, but when it came to the eclipse and the potential for traffic, we had to delay a lot of that just because you never really knew, because with a once-in-a-lifetime event, what that traffic could be like. So started that April 9th, and then that's from the 26 and 29 intersections and the Clinton-Howard County line, doing some resurfacing there, some added drainage improvements. I think those are much needed, and, you know, people, once it's all said and done, will be very thankful for that. But, of course, it is a very big project for the, you know, the time being. And being a closure as well, you know, we do ask folks to seek an alternate route around that, because that's not something that's obviously open. So work's expected to last a couple months here, but what we have as our state detour is 29 to 28 to U.S. 31. But, of course, you know, locals, I know they all have their local detours. But being a state agency, you know, we just give our state detour. And if you could find an alternate route, we would just encourage everybody to do that.
I think the biggest thing that the locals have with this and with what's going to take place is especially the farmers, because there are fields along that the only access they have is right off of 26. And
I do know that Scott has had some conversations there as well. A lot of times we'll discuss, our project teams will discuss with the locals there and try to be accommodating, because we are Indiana, and, you know, we are a big farming state. And actually, I grew up on a farm, so, you know, we try to be as understanding and helpful as possible there. So, but we do want to give folks those resources that we can, you know, help them get into their fields as well.
Well, and can you talk a little bit about why they're going back in and redoing this? Because I think for people it's a little confusing as to why, you know, they hurried up and they paved it and they opened it up for the winter, but now here they are closing it and redoing everything they just did. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we just saw a little bit of an additional need there, so we wanted to make sure that, you know, we could kind of get in there, get it done right, and, you know, hopefully we can get this done this year and then not have to have any issues in the future. You know, sometimes we can do a project, some things will pop up, and, you know, we just want to address it before it becomes anything, you know, more than what it could be. So want to get that done, you know, fixed for everybody, and hopefully by the end of this year that road will be in really, really good shape.
Well, and I mean, we're gonna see the same exact thing coming up here with State Road 38. I mean, everybody was ecstatic that 39 and 38 was all open, and now we're going right back to it again.
Yeah, we've got some pipe installations happening right there. So we're going to be doing that on, you know, 38 between Main and U.S. 421, just east of Mulberry. That'll last until the fall as well, but come fall, those pipes should be installed. And the closure locations will vary on that. That's not like one big chunk. That's one that's, you know, kind of going to be, I guess, you know, phased or, you know, through different portions of the road there. So hopefully that helps alleviate some of that as well.
Public Relations Director for NDOT, Blake Dollier, is our guest today. If you have any questions, feel free to call in 765-659-3338 on Party Line today. And, you know, there are some other sections out in the area that are happening as well. I see some things happening. Telephone company burying some broadband fiber. That looks like that's State Road 29, also kind of near State Road 26 and 750 South. Is that correct?
Yes. So that's just one of those things. Sometimes utility companies will go out and have things to take care of, and so, you know, they want to provide the better access to their customers that they can. So What we allow is, you know, for them, if they need to, we'll do through a permit process. We'll have them maybe take a lane every once in a while, but that's going to be a flagging operation. So nothing too crazy there, nothing like super permanent or anything like that. It's just sometimes you may see a flagger out there and you'll just have to know, okay, got to slow down and, you know, move around that way. So, but nothing as crazy there as, you know, as the full closure or anything like that.
I got a question coming back from the Richville area, going back to that 29 project. They want to know, and I think you did address this, the water's not going anywhere because there's no flow to it. Like the drainage projects that you got going on there are almost trying to change the flow of the water itself. And they want to know who they can get a hold of, also what numbers they can call to express their concerns, and what about when a field tile gets broke for the construction, who can they talk to about it?
Yeah, so we have a customer service team here at NDOT, and this could be for something like this, or this could even be if you're maybe concerned just about some potholes or something like that. We really cover everything with this. So what we'd encourage our listeners to do is go to NDOT and then the number 4 and then the letter U.com. That's our customer service portal. And basically what happens from there is once you know, have this concern or would like to, you know, express something to us, you can do that. And then our customer service team will connect you with our project team or with whoever the case may be, whoever can kind of answer that question or concern or, you know, get that taken care of. And so we'll respond within a reasonable amount of time and be able to address that, you know, firsthand.
Again, that's ndot4u.com. If there's questions after the show is over today, you can always call us here at the station as well, and we'll have that on file here. I know, you know, with your particular job, you guys can only really work on the actual roads. Of course, in the winter months, you plow snow and do things like that. But to actually do a lot of this work, you only have certain months that you can do that. And it looks like that you're planning on doing almost 6,000 miles of replaced resurfacing just in this season alone. That's a lot.
Yeah, across the whole state of Indiana, you know, these things are really, really, you know, we've got a limited time window to do it. A lot of times people always, you know, ask, well, you know, why can't we do this, you know, as often? Or how come the roads in Florida may be a little bit different? Well, that's because in Florida they've got, you know, 12 months out of the year that they could be out there on the road. Here in Indiana, unfortunately, we don't have the beaches and the nice sunny weather all year.
That'd be nice, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be great. Now, of course, I'm sure that would make my job a little bit busier, too. But I'd take it if we had a beach here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. But, yeah, almost 6,000 miles of lanes of roads to be resurfaced and replaced. And that's a lot of road that's going to be a lot smoother and brand new here in the Hoosier State. You know, we call ourselves the Crossroads of America, so we have to really live up to that name. And, you know, maybe Mother Nature gives us a short time window to do it, but we certainly try our best.
Blake Dahl, your Public Relations Director for NDOT, is our guest today, and 623 bridges to be rehabilitated or replaced just this season as well. That is a lot of work to get accomplished this year.
Well, when you think about it, too, 623 bridges across 92 Indiana counties. So you may think, well, you know, I'm sure they'll never do a project near me. Well, think about it. And those, you know, when you crunch those numbers together, there is a project coming near you. And you just, you know, it's just a matter of where, not opposed to if. You know, we try to take care of everybody as best we can. And so this, you know, isn't just big cities necessarily or the major state highways, but also, you know, those state highways that run through maybe some of the more rural areas as well. And so, you know, we've got our eyes out for those. We've got actually 2,700 lane miles of pavement that's going to be chip sealed as well. And a lot of times when you chip seal a road, the longevity on that is really, really strong.
Have the products you've used to chip and seal, have those changed and improved over the years? Or do we kind of do that process the same as it's always been done?
You know, things always kind of modernize and things like that over the course of many years. As far as the, you know, the science of what goes into it, you know, I'll never claim to be a mad scientist or anything, so to speak. But, you know, it just seems that year after year, things just get better and better. I know with, you know, like our salt and our brine as well, those have gotten tremendously better over the years, too. So I think any time we've really got a chance to modernize or just make something better, maybe a little bit more environmentally friendly, we always take that if we're able to do that. And, you know, of course, we want it to be effective as well. So we really try to, with everything we use, we try to strike that balance.
It looks like you have about 190 projects to improve traffic flow and safety. I want to talk about roundabouts a little bit because we don't have any really here in Frankfort yet. I don't know if some are coming, but we don't have any in Frankfort yet. But those seem to be the new hot thing, the roundabouts. Are they really safer? Do they really improve the flow of traffic?
Yeah, the thing about roundabouts that not a lot of people understand, I remember actually when I got my driver's license, you know, just about 10 years ago, I'd go through roundabouts and I'm like, well, these could be kind of scary at first, but then the more you use them and the more you realize, you know, how helpful they are, the more popular they get. We've actually, especially in our comment sections on social media, have had people asking for roundabouts, which is something that you may not have even thought of 5 years ago. And basically what a roundabout does, it takes, say, a higher speed intersection with a signal where there could be a dangerous, you know, T-bone angle crash. And instead, everybody's slowing down and, you know, watching because they don't want to get hit. And so they take a little bit of extra time at these roundabouts, but they also don't have to stop and sit at the red on the same token. So you kind of have that win-win. I don't have to sit here, but also we're slowing down. We're going in, you know, a circular pattern, so we're being more careful. And it really takes, you know, the risk of, say, running a red light completely out of the equation. And it creates an angle of, if there is a crash, then usually it's not something where it would be an injury crash or, you know, a fatal crash a lot of times. But, you know, most of the time those crashes can be at a safer angle as well. Of course, you know, things do happen, but statistics have shown that most of the time they're a lot safer.
I know, you know, I've not heard a lot of discord about a roundabout other than from over the road drivers and semi drivers, because they don't seem to be designed for that.
And, you know, that's something that we've looked into a lot as well, but we've actually, you know, kind of over the course of the last few years, you know, found ways to make those a little bit easier as well. Of course, you know, not everywhere is suited for a roundabout and not everywhere is suited for a signal, but it kind of depends on the traffic flow, the types of traffic, things like that. But if it makes sense to put one in there, a lot of times they can be, you know, a really, really effective tool. And I've even heard rumblings, too, where they actually can save fuel at times. I'm not so sure on that, but, you know, I've heard some things about that as well, and I think that's something to definitely think about.
Well, there was a rumor, and I'm just going to call that what it is. I don't know if it was real or not, that there might be a roundabout put in at one point at Hoke there in Frankfort at that intersection, which is really, really weird, especially for people who are out of town and it's their first time driving through and semi-drivers who are trying to get through there. So that's a really weird intersection.
Yeah, you know, I don't have anything, you know, haven't heard anything about that myself yet. But, of course, if something does come up, you know, we'll let everybody know and we'll come on the program and we'll talk about that as well. So,
all right. Blake Dollier, Public Relations Director for NDOT. Anything else you'd like to share with us? I know that, again, this is National Work Zone Awareness Week, but really it should be kind of months. I don't know. A week just doesn't seem like it should be long enough for that particular thing. It should be like, I don't know, April through like October or something. So just a reminder to folks to be safe.
I kind of like that idea, so I may have to mention that to the folks here at NDOT. But, you know, just remember, we've got over 1,000 projects across the state. It's $2.8 billion of investment into Indiana's infrastructure. And so just remember, we're working out there. We're doing our best, and our guys and gals out there on the road are, you know, just want to make it to and from work safely. And, you know, just remember that even though Work Zone Awareness Week kind of wraps up today, that you can celebrate throughout the entirety of this and years to come construction season.
Yeah, I always think to myself when I'm getting near those construction zones, that's someone's husband, son, father, you know, whatever, as I approach those. And what I want those, you know, other people on the road to watch out for them like I would want to watch out for someone else's. And I'm usually the one getting honked at when we get, because I do slow down, but I, you know, I encourage others to do that as well.
And express a little kindness, let people in. And when I think that's a big part of the problem is people don't let others merge. And in fact, that's how I got hit. I was letting somebody else merge, and the person behind me wasn't paying any attention because they were worried about somebody trying to merge in front of them, and ended up rear-ending me.
Yeah, it can be kind of scary out there for sure. So, you know, just a little courtesy always can go a long way.
It does. Blake, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. And as always, if you have anything that we need to know about, you are more than welcome to give us a holler. We'd love to have you on anytime. You're always a wealth of information. So thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us.
Well, thank you all for having me. You guys stay safe out there and enjoy your weekend.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. Again, Blake Dollier, Public Relations Director for NDOT, a wealth of information. And again, just slow down a little on the roads. I know it is the season and we're all in a hurry, mm-hmm. but I always try and think that's someone's loved one when they're out there working on the road. So do be careful.
Most definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he grew up around here. Like I said, he grew up on a farm. He knows, you know, the situations that people are facing out here. So a wealth of knowledge. And he does advocate a lot. He doesn't say it much when he's on, but he does advocate a lot at the NDOT office at the state. So we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back with the second half of Party Line with our guest prosecutor for Clinton County, Tony Somers.